Heyo, and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part two of Beware the Snowman by R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. First off, I need to give a shout out to Maria because your boyfriend Kay Royal direct messaged me on Instagram. My Instagram's Dune_M, and he was like, yo, give my girl a shout out. And I was like, all right. And then I think I ended up accidentally not talking to him because I was carsick as fuck from a bad Uber driver originally, driving up to Fontana to pick up my sweet new 2002, it's not new, I guess, it's 14 years old, Crown Victoria Police Interceptor. Oh, it's so rad. It's just the raddest car I've ever owned. The big V8 and shit. It's only got 63,000 miles on it. I paid, like, $2,720 or something like that for it. It was cheap as fuck. It runs beautifully. I can't find anything wrong with it. It's all up to date on maintenance. It was the greatest plan I've ever had. Just buying a used cop car. I love it. That big ass V8 and shit. And it wasn't like a patrol car. You know, it was, I don't know what it was. They don't tell you, but it's not like damaged to shit and had a bunch of, you know, people detoxing in the back seat and shitting themselves and getting shot by cops and thrown there. It's just good condition. I'm stoked. Hey, finally some good news from me on this, right? What else has been going on? I don't know. Doing houseworky shit today. That's it, really. Last night got more tattoo work done. I think it's like the 7th session so far on the giant 2-foot gorilla head on my chest, which I think it's gonna take maybe 5 more sessions or so. It's so painful and so huge and so ridiculous. I don't know why I started doing it, but now I gotta finish, so yeah. I don't know what else. I'm not sure. I should just dive into this boy, shouldn't I? Alright, Beware the Snowman, R.L. Stine, Dune Reads Goosebumps, chapter number 16, let me crack into this steel reserve. Rolanda shifted her weight. The wooden bench creaked beneath us. Oh, Rolanda's so fat she make church benches squeak. She took a deep breath and began her story. Years ago, 2 sorcerers lived in this village, a man and a woman. Everyone knew they were sorcerers, but everyone left them alone. Were they evil sorcerers? I interrupted. Rolanda shook her head. No, I don't think they were evil. At least, I don't think they meant to be. She glanced around the room again. I settled back against the bench and waited impatiently for her to continue. One day, the 2 sorcerers were fooling around, getting to all sorts of bases with each other, having fun. They cast a spell on a snowman, and the snowman came to life. I gasped, "Really?" Rolanda narrowed her eyes at me. Please, don't interrupt. Jacqueline, please let me tell the whole story first. I apologized. Leaning close to me, she continued her story in a whisper. The sorcerers used their magic to bring the snowman to life, but then they lost control of it. The snowman was powerful, and it was evil. The sorcerers had given it life, but they didn't know they didn't really know what they were doing. Jesus, that was tough to get out. And they didn't know that the snowman would try to destroy the village and everyone in it. The sorcerers tried to use magic to put the snowman back to sleep, but their magic wasn't powerful enough. They even tried to pee-pee on it, but it just turned it into a yellow snowman. Oh no! The villagers all gathered round. Somehow, they managed to force the snowman up to the top of the mountain. There is a big cave at the very top of the mountain. The cave is cut in ice. Everyone calls it the Ice Cave, because we're not creative people in this village. I would have called it
chilly ass cold cave. And then they'd be like, why do you call it that? And I'd be like, because it's made out of ice. That's why I call it Chilly Ass Cold Cave.
The villagers chased the evil snowman into the ice cave. Then most people moved away from the village. Few people wanted to stay, knowing that the evil creature was alive at the top of the mountain. So most people left, Rolanda continued, whispering so softly I could barely hear her. The two sorcerers probably left too. No one really knows what happened to them. And that's when Conrad comes into the story, Rolanda said. I stared at her. Conrad? The weird guy with the white beard? As opposed to anyone else with the white beard? Everyone with the white beard's a weird dude. Rolanda nodlonded. She nodded. After the evil snowman was chased into the ice cave, Conrad moved up there. He built a cabin just beneath the ice cave. No one could figure out why. Is Conrad trying to protect the town? Rolanda continued. That's weird. Did she ask herself a question? Does he work for the snowman? Does he help the snowman? Does he make beautiful, cold love to the snowman? Or does he think that living so close to the evil snowman will keep him safe? No one knows. Conrad very seldom comes down from the mountaintop, and when he does come into the village, he doesn't talk to anyone. No one knows for sure who he is or why he stays up there. Rolanda continued, no one has anything to do with Conrad. We don't know if he's crazy or evil. Why don't you talk to him? That's how I find out if people are crazy or evil. Most of the time, they're just selfish. She sighed. Once again, her eyes darted around the room. She seemed so nervous, as if she didn't want anyone else to know that she was telling me the history of the village. Some nights, she continued, we can hear the snowman up there on top of the mountain. Some nights we can hear him roaring and bellowing with rage. Some nights we can hear him howling, howling like a wolf. We've all built snowmen, snowmen that look like him. Everyone in the village builds them. I jumped to my feet. So that's why I see those weird snowmen everywhere, I cried. Rolanda raised a finger to her lips. I don't know why I just did that. I need to stop doing the hand motions. I just took a second out of this to put my finger to my lips. She motioned for me to sit the fuck back down. I dropped back onto the bench. Why do you build the snowmen? I demanded. Why is there one in just about every single yard? To honor him, Rolanda replied. Huh? Honor him? I cried. You know what I mean, she said sharply. People hope that if the evil snowman comes down from the ice cave, he'll see the little snowmen that look like him. It will make him happy and keep him from doing any harm. What? What is the logic behind that? Rolanda squeezed my hand. Her dark eyes burned into mine. Now, do you understand? She whispered. Now do you understand why we're all so afraid? I stared back at her and burst out laughing. That's chapter 17.
I shouldn't have laughed, but I just couldn't help it. I mean, Rolanda seemed like a really smart girl. For a girl, am I right? Oh, wait, the character's a girl. Yeah, but still, she's sexist. She couldn't really believe that story, could she? It's a joke, I decided. A story the villagers tell to scare people who move there. I stopped laughing when I saw the startled expression on Rolanda's face. Hey, come on, I said. You're kidding, right? She shook her head solemnly. Her dark eyes glowed in the dim light. That's a lot of words to describe levels of light intensity. Such serious eyes. You don't really believe that a snowman can walk, do you? I demanded. My voice echoed shrilly in the small room. You don't really believe that a snowman can be alive, Oh, I believe it, Rolanda replied in a low, trembling voice. It's not a joke, Jacqueline. I believe it, and everyone in the village believes it. I stared at her. The ceiling creaked, probably from the weight of the snow on the roof. I shifted my weight on the hard wooden bench. But have you ever seen it? I asked. Have you ever seen the snowman walk? She blinked. Well, no, she confessed. But I've heard him late at night, Jacqueline. I've heard his howls and his angry cries. Brr, I'm cold. Brr, brick squad. She climbed to her feet. I won't go close enough to see him. I'm too afraid, she said. I won't go up to the ice cave. No one will. But Rolanda, I started. Then I stopped. Her chin trembled. I could see the fear in her eyes. Just talking about the snowman had frightened her. I wanted to tell her that the story couldn't be true. I wanted to tell her that it sounded like a silly superstition, like washing your hands when you're done using the bathroom, a fairy tale. But I didn't want to insult her. She might be my only friend here, I thought. I stood up and pulled on my coat. Then the two of us made our way out of the church. The snow had stopped, but a gusting wind blew down from the mountain. The wind made the fresh snow swirl and dance around our boots. I pulled my hood over my hair and lowered my head into the wind. No way I could ever believe such a wild story, I thought. Why doesn't Rolanda see how brazy it is? We made our way up the road, our boots sinking into the powdery, fresh snow. We didn't talk. Our voices wouldn't carry over the loud rush of the wind. I walked Rolanda home. We stopped at the bottom of her snow-covered driveway. Thanks for telling me about the snowman, I said. Her eyes locked onto mine. You had to be told, she said solemnly. And then she added, you've got to believe me, Jacqueline. It's true. All of it. I didn't reply. I said good night. Then I turned and, leaning into the wind, headed for my house. I was nearly there when I heard a sound over the roaring wind. A heavy thud, 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 coming up rapidly behind me. Chippity chapter, the 18th chapter. You listen to this chapter and it starts the rapture. That's right, we're all going to die because I read this, apparently. I froze. For a moment, I thought it was my imagination. I pictured an enormous, evil snowman as tall as a house lumbering after me. No, I murmured and spun around and saw Rolanda's brother, Eli, running up to me. His heavy work boots thudded over the snow. His sheepskin coat was open, flapping out as he ran. Eli, it's late, I cried. What are you doing out here? He didn't reply, breathing hard, his chest heaving up and down under his sweater. He eyed me suspiciously. She told you, didn't she? He demanded breathlessly, like the kid from Malcolm in the Middle. Huh? We moved behind a wide tree, out of the wind. Eli, what is your problem? I demanded. Rolanda told you, didn't she? He repeated. She told you about the He pointed toward the mountaintop. Well, yeah, I replied. A clump of snow dropped from the tree onto the front of my parka. I brushed it away. You gotta brush that snow off your parka. Eli, are you crazy? It's freezing out here. Zip up your coat, I scolded. Rolanda doesn't know one thing, Eli continued, still breathing hard. She doesn't know that I saw it. I saw the snowman. I stared at him. You saw the snowman? You saw the living snowman. Eli nodded. Yes, I saw him, but that's not the scary part. Eli, what is the scary part? I demanded. Bet we're about to find out. Chapter number 19. He stared at me. The wind ruffled his dark hair, but his eyes remained steady, hard. What is the scary part? I repeated. The scary part, Eli replied, is that the snowman, saw me. The wind howled around the tree. I dragged Eli to the side of the nearest house. We pressed against the wall and kissed.
That's not true. They didn't kiss. They just shivered, and he finally zipped up his coat.
Eli, the story is crazy, I insisted. I really don't think. Just let me tell you what happened, he pleaded. Then you can decide if it's crazy or not. He shivered again. It saw me, Jacqueline. The snowman stared at me. It saw me. It knows who I am. It knows that I saw it. And that's why I'm so afraid of it.
Wait, you think that her aunt that she lives with, I know this is not related to what's going on right now, is one of the sorcerers, and that's why she's going back to right the wrong of creating the snowman? Or do you think it was maybe her parents were both the sorcerers? Which means that Jacqueline would genetically be a sorcerer in her own right, and she gets to stop it with magic?
I guess we'll find out. Anyway, but Eli, I started. He raised a gloved hand to silence me. Wait, please. He took a deep breath. It happened a few weeks ago. My two friends and I, we climbed up the mountain. We wanted to see the ice cave. So we sneaked around Conrad's cabin.
I don't get it, I said. What does Conrad have to do with it?
He won't let anyone near the ice cave, Eli replied. He keeps everyone away. Conrad is so weird. Some people think he works for the snowman.
He gets paid in shavings of carrots from his nose. That's not a good way to make money, or a good form of currency, I guess.
He protects the snowman by keeping everyone from the village away. But you sneaked past Conrad, I asked. Eli nodded. Yeah, my friends and I, and we climbed up close to the ice cave. I had never seen the cave before.
What did it look like? I asked.
Eli made a sweeping motion with both hands, outlining the shape of the cave for me.
It's a huge cave, cut into the side of the mountain. It looks like a fucking cave, idiot, he said. It's made of ice, okay? It's all smooth and shiny. It looks like glass. You know, it's like the inside of the Matterhorn, but instead of a, you know, abominable snowman, it's an abominable snowman. Wait. Abominable snowman is the right word, right? Abominable snowman. Okay. Then it just comes up with Yeti. Okay. So I was going to be like, yeah, the abominable Yeti. And then I was like, but instead it's a snowman, but that's the actual name of it, which ruins that whole comment.
Whatever, it doesn't matter. The cave entrance is wide and totally black, and it has huge icicles hanging down all along the front, with points as sharp as knives.
Wow, I murmured. Sounds kind of pretty.
Yeah, in a way, Eli agreed. But we didn't think it was pretty when the snowman came out.
Oh, he's gay. Just kidding, it's not that kind of coming out, but maybe it is.
I stared hard at Eli, studying his face. You really saw a snowman walking? I demanded. Eli nodded. We heard a rumbling sound. The ground started to shake. My friends and I got scared. We thought it was an earthquake, or an avalanche, or something, possibly the result of fracking. My friends started to run down the mountain, but I stayed and I saw it. The snowman poked his head out of the cave. He was as big as a grizzly bear, and he had a scar cut deep into his face, like Scar, the lion with a scar from the Lion King Scar. His eyes searched around, then they stopped on me, and his mouth opened in an angry roar. Eli took a deep breath. Then he started again. The snowman,
stepped out of the cave. The ground shook, it really did. Snow blew all over the place. The snowman stared at me, and he roared again. And I took off, Eli continued breathlessly. I ran past Conrad's cabin. I ran all the way down the mountain, and I never looked back. What about your friends? I asked. They were waiting for me down at the bottom. He's got friends in low places. Garth Brooks references in 2016, Eli replied. We just went to our houses. We never talked about it. Why not? I demanded. Too afraid, I guess, Eli said, glancing down. We never talked about it. We never mentioned it. I never even told Rolanda. I was just too frightened to talk about shit. He raised his eyes to me. But now I have dreams, he confessed. Bad dreams about the snowman every night. Yeah, Eli, well, I had a dream last night that I was on Craigslist looking to buy a hookah. And then I woke up and after there weren't any results or anything. And it was like, oh, fuck. Now I really want a hookah. And then I'm like, wait, I don't want a hookah at all. I don't like those things. That was my dream. It was a good dream.
I stared at him, unsure of what to say. His whole body was trembling. From the cold, I wondered, or from being so afraid. He gazed back at me, waiting for me to say something. Eli, you didn't tell Rolanda about this? Why are you telling me? I asked. So you will believe the story, he replied solemnly. There's lots of solemn replies in this. You're new, Jacqueline. You probably think it's all silly, but you have to stay away from the ice cave. But Eli, I started. You didn't believe my sister, did you? He accused, like an accuser. You didn't believe her story. Well, I hesitated. That's why I waited for you, he replied. I wanted to tell you my story. Do you believe me, Jacqueline? Do you believe that I saw the snowman?
I don't know. I told him I don't know you all that well. You're just some kid that ran up to me and told me you saw a walking snowman. Why should I believe you? I just moved to this town. I don't think I like it very much.
The wind swirled around the wall of the house. I felt my nose and cheeks. My whole face was numb, like I just got some bomb-ass snow, man. I've got to get home, I said. Eli grabbed my parka sleeve. Jacqueline, don't go up to the ice cave, he pleaded. Please, believe my story. It's true. I pulled my arm away. Then I started to jog over the snow toward my house. Go home, Eli, I called back, like Tia and Tamara Mowry. Go home before you freeze. I jogged all the way home. It felt good to run and not think about anything. Jogging on fresh, powdery snow was difficult. My boots kept slipping on the slick, hard surface underneath. By the time I reached home, my legs ached. Breathing hard, I pushed open the front door. To my surprise, the house was totally dark. Maybe her house is the ice cave. Let's keep reading. I pulled off a glove and squinted at my wristwatch. Only 9 o'clock. Did Aunt Greta go to bed so early? She usually stays up until at least midnight. I clicked on the ceiling light and glanced around the small living room. A magazine lay open on the couch. Nothing else was out of place.
I need to subscribe to more magazines. Magazines are fun. I only get Vice. And Vice isn't very good anymore. I don't know why I get it. It's like free in most places in the country. I guess the East Coast or New York. But here I gotta pay like, what is it, like 30 bucks a year? Why am I doing that? Remind me to cancel Vice.
Leaning against the front door, I pulled off my wet boots and stood them in the corner. Then I tugged off my parka and dropped it onto the couch. My eyes stopped at the door to Aunt Greta's bedroom. The door stood open, darkness beyond the door. I quickly made my way across the room and peeked into my aunt's bedroom. Aunt Greta? I called softly to Aunt Greta. No reply, calling her softly with my voice. I stepped into the room. Aunt Greta?
Are you here? I fumbled at the lamp on her dresser and finally managed to click it on and a genie came out. No, it didn't. Aunt Greta? No, not in bed, not in her room. Aunt Greta, are you home? I called loudly. I headed out of her room. Oh, I cried out when I stepped in something. Maybe Aunt Greta shit on the floor. Something cold and wet soaked through my sock. Oh, you got poo-poo foot. Huh? I lowered my gaze to see a wide puddle of cold water on the bedroom floor. How did that get there? I murmured. I suddenly felt worried. Aunt Greta, I called, hurrying back into the living room. Aunt Greta, where are you, Aunt Greta? Chapter number 20. Panic swept over me as if I were the streets of London or possibly Birmingham. Where could she be? I started for the kitchen when a rattling at the front door made me stop. Was someone breaking in? I gasped as the door slowly creaked open, and Aunt Greta came bustling in, brushing snow off her long, black coat. She smiled at me, but her smile instantly died when she saw my expression. Jacqueline, what's wrong?
I sputtered.
Aunt Greta, where were you? I got so scared. She pulled off her coat. Didn't you see my note? The one that I wrote? Sorry, I don't know why. Huh? Note? I left it for you on the refrigerator, she said. I met a nice couple this morning at the general store. They came by and invited me over for dessert and coffee. Oh, that's nice, I choked out, my heart still pounding in my chest. Why did you get scared? Aunt Greta demanded. Hanging her coat in the front closet, she straightened her long white braid behind her sweater. Well, I was in your room looking for you, and I stepped in a cold puddle on the floor, I replied. Puddle? Show me, Aunt Greta demanded. Doing it again. I led the way to the bedroom and pointed to the wide, wet spot on the floor. Aunt Greta gazed up at the ceiling. Maybe the roof leaks, she murmured. We'll have to examine it tomorrow morning. I thought it was the snowman, I blurted out. I know it's crazy, but I thought he had been here. I thought he'd broken into the house and... Do you need some water? I stopped when I saw the shock on my aunt's face. Her mouth dropped open and she uttered a silent gasp. I guess if I make the gas sound, it isn't silent, so never mind, disregard that. Jacqueline, what are you talking about? She demanded. What have your friends been telling you? More nonsense about a snowman? Yes, I confessed. Rolanda and Eli, the two village kids I met, they both told me a brazy story about a living snowman who stays in an ice cave at the top of the mountain. They said, it's all superstition, Aunt Greta interrupted. It's all old tales that have been handed down. None of it's true. You're smart enough to know that, Jacqueline. Yes, I agreed, but Rolanda and Eli seem so frightened. They really believe the story. And Eli begged me not to go up to the ice cave. Well, probably good advice, Aunt Greta said it. She crossed the room and placed a hand tenderly on my shoulder. You probably shouldn't go up to the mountaintop, dear, she said softly. Why not? I demanded. There must be some kind of a real danger up there, she replied. Not a living snowman, but something else dangerous. She sighed. That's how these old stories get started. Something bad happened on the mountaintop. Then the story changed each time it was told. Years later, no one remembers what really happened, and now everyone believes a crazy story about a living snowman. She shook her head. Have you seen all the strange snowmen in this village? I asked her. All the snowmen with scars on their faces and red scarves? Don't you think they're spooky? It's a strange village tradition, Aunt Greta confessed. Very quaint. I think they're very interesting looking.
Interesting? I frowned at her.
Well, make me a promise, she said, yawning.
Promise? Question mark.
Promise me you won't go running up to the mountaintop to explore the ice cave. It probably is a very dangerous place.
One time when we were kids, we wanted to explore these caves in a canyon. So we tied a rope around our stomachs and got flashlights and crawled in. They're like, you know, just big enough for like a person to crawl into. And we went back and back and back. And then we found like a rolled up sleeping bag of clearly a homeless dude's camp. Luckily, he wasn't there because dear God. And the only other thing we could see with our flashlight was like the little paper you get when you go to a funeral, like that you get to keep with like a teenage girl's face on it. It was a fucking creepy thing to find in a cave as a little kid. Anyway, that's why you don't go into caves, I guess.
Well, I hesitated. Promise, Aunt Greta urged sternly.
Okay, I promise, I agreed, rolling my eyes. But a few minutes later, I decided to break that promise.
I was lying in my attic bed, my eyes shut tightly, listening to the strange howls from the mountaintop. Were they animal? Were they human?
Were they dancers?
I hate mysteries. I have to know the answers to things.
Does that mean you like mysteries because you like finding out answers?
I'm going up there, I decided. I don't care what I promised my aunt. I'm climbing up to the ice cave. Tomorrow.
Chapter number 21.
I didn't dream of snowmen that night. I dreamed about fluffy white kittens with sky blue eyes. Dozens of them. The whitest kittens I ever saw. They were so white they ate their cat food with mayonnaise while listening to Bon Jovi. They began climbing over one another, silently at first, and then they started to screech and hiss. A frightening, ugly sound, as ugly as Screech was on Saved by the Bell. Suddenly, they all wore red scarves around their necks like they were French. They all clawed at each other, arcing their pure white backs, hissing and screeching, until I woke up. Yellow morning sunlight poured through the round window at the other end of my bedroom. I could smell bacon frying downstairs. Ooh, she likes waking up like Michael Scott. Aunt Greta was already up and at 'em. I decided to climb the mountain right after breakfast. I didn't want to think about it anymore. I wanted to go up there and solve the mystery like Scooby-Dooby-Doo. Ah, damn, I should have said Scooby-Dooby-Doon. That would have been tight, but I didn't. I knew that strange white-bearded guy Conrad was a problem. If he saw me, he'd try to stop me. He and his wolf. But I had a plan to take care of Conrad. If only Rolanda and Eli would help. As it turned out, I didn't get out of the house till after lunch. Aunt Greta needed me to hang curtains with her, and then we put up the paintings and posters she had brought from Chicago. The house was tiny and cramped, but it was starting to feel a little more like a home.
Where are you going? Aunt Greta called as I put on my parka and gloves and started out the door. Nowhere, really, I lied. What a terrible lie. Just going to hang out with Rolanda and Eli.
As I said their names, I saw them walking up my front yard. I closed the front door behind me and hurried out to greet them. Eli carried a snow shovel. Rolanda dragged two slender tree branches. She dropped them at my feet.
What's that for? I asked. What are you guys doing here?
We have to build your snowman, Rolanda replied solemnly. God, these are some solemn-ass kids.
Excuse me? I cried.
You won't be safe until you have a snowman in your yard, Eli said.
Listen, guys. I started. The snow is very wet, Rolanda reported.
Good packing snow, It shouldn't take long. Eli and I brought everything we need.
I need some water. My throat hurts.
But I don't have time to build a snowman, I protested. I want to climb up to the ice cave this morning.
They both gasped. Eli gripped the shovel handle and gaped at me.
You can't, Eli, he cried.
Jacqueline, I warned you, Rolanda said. I have to see it for myself, I told them, and then I added, I want you to come with me.
No, Eli gasped.
Rolanda shook her head. You know we won't go up to the ice cave, Jacqueline, and we don't want you to go either.
But if we all go together, I urged.
No, they both cried. I could see real fear on their faces. Clearly, they had never heard of the hit clothing brand in the 90s, No Fear. That's apparently coming back due to MMA. Is that right? Anyway, staring at them, I suddenly had an idea.
Okay, okay, I said. I'll make a deal with you.
They eyed me suspiciously.
What kind of deal? Rolanda demanded.
I'll stay here and build the snowman, if you'll help me when we're done, I said.
No, we won't go with you, Rolanda insisted. You can't get us to go up to the ice cave, Jacqueline.
No deal, Eli added sternly.
You don't have to go up to the ice cave, I told them. You just have to keep Conrad busy, so I can sneak past him.
Huh?
How are we going to do that? Eli asked, leaning on the shovel.
We'll think of something when we get up there, I replied.
If you can keep him talking to you, maybe I can sneak past and get up to the cave.
But we don't want to go to the ice cave, Rolanda insisted.
I'm going to do it one way or the other.
I'm going to go there. I'm going to climb it one way or another. Fucking snowman,
I told her, with or without you. So, are you going to help me or not? They glanced tensely at each other. Eli whispered something to his sister. Rolanda whispered something back. Then Rolanda turned to me.
Will you build the snowman first? She asked.
You won't be safe without the snowman, Eli added. I wanted to tell them that building a snowman wouldn't protect me against... What the hell is that bug on here? What the fuck? Hold up.
What is that? I think I killed it. What the fuck was that? It looks like one of Connie's shrimp.
Uh-oh. Are they evolving and getting out of the water? Did I just kill an important advancement in shrimp kind? Oh, well.
I wanted to tell them building snowman wouldn't protect me against anything. I wanted to tell them how silly the whole thing was. But I needed their help. I knew I could never get past Conrad and his wolf without them.
Okay, fine. First, we'll build the snowman,
I agreed. Then Eli and I will help you, Rolanda promised. But we can't go any farther than Conrad's cabin, Eli insisted in a trembling voice.
Great, I replied.
Let's get started in here.
Then it's going to be a cool montage of them becoming friends and building a snowman. That'll be sweet. I can't wait to watch the movie of this one. I still haven't finished the goddamn Goosebumps movie, by the way. I watched like the first couple minutes and that's it. I need to fucking watch that, obviously. I think it's on Netflix now, too. What is wrong with me?
I bent down and started rolling a snowball for the snowman's body.
You're going to need two snowballs. It's like testicles.
Rolanda was right.
You know, it's not a snow woman, you know? I should have said that before I got into
Rolanda was right. It was good packing snow. I rolled the ball across the snowy yard until it was big enough for two of us to roll. Rolanda and I worked on the body. Eli worked on the snowball for the head. Building one of the strange snowmen gave me a creepy feeling. I felt as if I had become part of the superstition. I was taking part in some kind of ancient village tradition, a tradition built on fear.
Aren't they all? No,
No, they aren't. Most traditions are not built on fear. They're mostly built on just hanging out and getting weird with people. You know? Ooh, what's coming up? September? Well, it's September 11th is tomorrow. That's a tradition, I guess. But, oh, then Halloween, Thanksgiving. It's going to be a lot of cool shit I can't afford. The people of the village all built these snowmen because they were afraid. And now, here I was, building one too. Should I be afraid? I wondered. I felt glad when the snowman was finished. Rolanda pulled a red scarf from her coat pocket, and we wrapped it under the scarred head. The snowman's dark eyes seemed to glare at me. The mouth was turned down in an angry sneer. The arms bobbed softly in the wind. Okay, good job, I told my two new friends. Now, let's get going. I motioned toward the mountaintop. Are you sure you want to do this? Eli asked in a tiny voice. Sure, I'm sure, I declared surely and loudly. And don't call me Shirley. But as we started making our way along the road, I didn't feel as sure as I pretended. The road curved up the mountain. Soon, the houses ended, and we were walking through the snowy woods. We didn't talk. We kept our eyes straight ahead. The afternoon sun was slowly lowering itself behind the trees. Blue shadows stretched over the snow. The air grew colder as we climbed. When Conrad's low cabin came into view, my heart began to pound. Why didn't you spend that time when you were silent coming up with a plan? I tried to keep my mind calm and clear, but question after question whirred through my brain. Was Conrad inside the cabin? Where was the white wolf? Would my plan work?
I thought you said you didn't have a plan. I just addressed it like 2 seconds ago.
I probably shouldn't keep going, but I'm going to Steel Reserve. Chapter 22. All three of us stopped at the end of the road and stared at the cabin up ahead. The late afternoon sun had fallen behind the trees.
Oh, I've fallen. I can't get up until the morning because that's how the sun works. Don't worry about it.
The snow billowed in front of us in shades of gray. Possibly 50 sexy shades of gray. To the left of the cabin, I saw a row of low evergreen shrubs covered in snow.
Well, how'd you know they're evergreen? I guess because they had leaves and shit on them. I guess my point was that you can't tell they're green because they're covered in white, but clearly they're evergreen. It doesn't matter.
I'll hide behind those shrubs, I told Rolanda and Eli. You run up to the cabin and keep Conrad and the wolf from seeing me. This isn't going to work, Eli muttered, his eyes on the cabin.
Ooh, the cabin in the woods. It's a good movie. I need to rewatch that again.
It's getting kind of dark, Rolanda fretted. Maybe we should come back in the morning. Maybe we should forget the whole idea, Eli suggested. I saw his chin quiver. That's where he keeps all his chin arrows for his chin bow. He shuddered. Hey, you promised, I exclaimed. A promise is a promise, right? They didn't reply. They both stared across the gray snow at the dark cabin up ahead. I came this far. I'm not going back, I said sharply. Are you going to help me or not? I gasped when I heard a low growl from the cabin. The wolf must have heard or smelled us.
Yeah, because you smell like poo-poo.
I knew it would come running out at any second. Come on, I urged in a loud whisper. And I took off for the snow-covered shrubs. I ducked out of view just as Conrad and the wolf burst out of the cabin. Hello, Rolanda cried to Conrad. Hi, Eli echoed.
It's not a hi if it's a different sound, idiots.
Learn to echo. I watched Rolanda and Eli go running up to Conrad. The wolf lowered its head, watching them carefully. I saw Rolanda and Eli both talking at once, chattering with Conrad. I couldn't hear what they were saying. They were doing it, I told myself, my heart pounding. They're keeping his attention. Time for me to move.
Time for me to make a run for it. I could hear Rolanda talking to Conrad. I glanced over the top of the bush.
Glycerin!
The wolf had its back to me. Conrad was scratching his gray hair, listening to Rolanda. I couldn't see his expression, but I imagined he was very confused and surprised. I knew he didn't get any visitors. He must be wondering what Rolanda and Eli were even doing up in this motherfucker. I forced all these thoughts from my mind. It was time for me to make a run for him. I took a deep breath. Then, still crouching, I began to run. My legs felt like jello. My boots sank into the deep snow. Ducking my head, I darted up the steep mountainside. Up. Up. I had just passed the bushes when I heard Conrad's angry shout. Hey, wait! Heyo, it's now the next day, September 11th, 2016. Typical shouts out to Gio and Kelly and Brian. Yeah, was that Connie's grandma's? I had a bunch of beers. I couldn't swim because I got tattooed. And hung out, ate some lobster and some little flap steaks and whatnot. It was delicious. And then everyone was going over to the J Street Marina to go get some Pokemans. But I decided not to because I'd rather finish this shit. Because it feels good to be productive, right? I don't know. You guys appreciate it on some level, yes? No? I don't know. Drinking a Budweiser. Well, no. Sorry. Drinking in America. That's what the can says now. You know. For the troops. I don't know.
Chapter number 23.
I stopped so suddenly, I fell over backward. I landed hard. The snow seemed to fly up in my face, sweep over me, surround me. Everything went white, like the audience at a Bigfoot convention. I'm caught, I realized. My plan didn't work. I stood up and turned to face Conrad. To my shock, he wasn't coming after me. He and the wolf were running downhill, chasing after Rolanda and Eli. I heard the wolf utter a high growl. Grrr! Then they disappeared around a curve. I stood, frozen in place, staring at the spot where they had just been. Would Conrad harm Rolanda and Eli? Should I run after them and try to help them? You shouldn't ask these rhetorical questions because it makes it seem like a give-yourself-goosebumps, and this is not a give-yourself-goosebumps. No, I had to keep going. This was the plan. This was my chance. Look, if you had one chance, would you mom spaghetti? Taking another deep breath, I turned and started to run up the mountainside. The climb was steep for a while. So steep, I wasn't sure I could make it, but then the ground leveled off. I found myself on a wide ledge. The ledge was slick. My boots slipped on the ice. I pressed my back against the mountain wall and gazed up at the ice cave. Yes! There it stood above me, a cave as tall as a building. How many stories is the building? That's not a good description. I've seen buildings that are one story and small, and I've seen skyscrapers, R.L. Stine. You gotta describe this better. Smooth and glassy. It reflected the clouds in the sky above it. I couldn't see the entrance from here. I was staring at one of the sides. The ledge narrowed as it curled up to the cave. I kept my back pressed against the wall and slowly, slowly, step by step, inched my way toward the top.
Don't look down.
I murmured out loud like a total cliche, but as soon as I said it, I had to look. It was a deep drop from the ledge to the ground far, far below. If I slipped and fell, I'm not going to slip and fall, I told myself. There's no ifs. There's no buts. A deep, rumbling sound made me jump. Diarrhea. I grabbed the mountainside with both hands to keep from falling. The ledge trembled beneath me. Another low rumble made me cry out in fear. The ledge trembled again. The whole mountain seemed to shake. The sound came from the cave. Is something moving up there? I wondered. Or is it the normal sound of a mountaintop in the wind? I gathered my courage and moved forward, inch by inch. I had come this far. I refuse to retreat now. What is that? The sunken cost fallacy? Is that the real thing? Sunk cost. Whatever. Screw you guys. I like that you search for that and Farmville comes up. The ledge grew narrower. Slippier. It was slippy as shit. And it curved around. And real curves. Not like when a fat girl just calls herself curvy, but she's fat. Like actual just like curves. Like Jessica Rabbit. Another rumbling noise made me gasp. Somehow, I held on and followed the ledge around. It seemed to take forever, but then the cave opening came into view. And after that, I saw the most terrifying sight of my life! I'm gonna keep it going. I'm doing this. Chapter 24. I didn't see it at first. What do you mean you didn't see it? You literally just said, after that I saw the most terrifying thing of my life, then you immediately went to I didn't see it at first. Whatever. First, I saw the layer of solid ice that covered the ledge. The glassy cave rose up behind the ledge. The gaping entrance to the cave was blacker than the darkest night. I stood, staring into the darkness, trying to catch my breath, trying to slow down my pounding heart. Clouds reflected in the glassy ice drifted rapidly to the right. They made the cave appear to move. Sharply pointed icicles stabbed down from the roof of the cave like jagged-ass meth teeth. They reminded me of sharpened teeth about to close. I already made that teeth analogy, R.L. Stein. Beat you to it. Beat you to it 20 years later. I stared into the black cave opening and waited. Waited to see if anything would appear. I didn't have to wait long. A rumble as loud as thunder made the ledge quake. Afraid I might slip off, I dropped to my knees. The rumble grew to a roar. And a tall, white figure lumbered out from the blackness of the cave entrance. An enormous snowman! I gasped and stared in horror as the mountain of snow moved toward me.
No,
I wailed. I forgot where I was, forgot I was perched on a narrow ice ledge and started to back up, to back away from the tall creature, and I slipped off the ledge and felt myself fall.
Chapter number 25. My hands shot up. Hands up, don't shoot, cops. Yeah. Yeah, like the protesters, shot up and dug into the ledge.
I gripped the icy ledge, held on, twice he wrote it, twice. With a terrified groan, I scrambled back to safety, trembling, my entire body shaking, my breaths escaping in short, frantic gasps. I huddled on my knees on the icy ledge and watched the snowman as it glared down at me. Its blood-red scarf flapped in the wind, an intense sight for all opposing Crip snowmen. Its round black eyes were as big as doorknobs, its mouth turned down in a fierce, angry sneer, and the scar cut deeply into the side of its round head, long and curling, like a black snake. Ooh, Black Mamba.
Oh!
I uttered another moan as its tree branch arms reached for me. I shivered in a sudden, deep cold. A cold I had never felt so far. Felt so far? I need a drink. I don't even know how I came up with that one. A cold I'd never felt before. I could see frozen waves floating from the snowman's wide body as if they were made in a Margaritaville frozen concoction maker. And then the big round head tilted, the black eyes bulged even wider, and the snowman bellowed in a deep roar of a voice. Who are you? I trembled in the waves of cold that floated off its body. It talks.
The stories Rolanda and Eli told me are true. It's all true. Its round eyes locked on mine, the big snowman moved closer, closer. Franklin, stop licking yourself. Thank you. I wanted to stand up. I wanted to run. Those are two opposite things, but one leads to the other. But it had me frozen there. I couldn't stand. I couldn't back up. I couldn't escape from it. Who are you? The snowman bellowed again, and the whole mountain shook.
I just dying in your...
No, that's not true. My voice came out in a quivering squeak. Please, I managed to choke out. Please, I didn't mean to bother you. Who are you, the snow creature? Thundered for a third time. My name, I squeaked. My name is Jacqueline. Jacqueline DeForest. The snowman's branch arm shot up. Ooh, yeah. Just shooting that sap straight into its main line. Its dark mouth gaped open in surprise. Say it again, it ordered. I shivered in the waves of cold. Jacqueline DeForest? I repeated in my tiny, frightened voice. The snowman stared down at me in silence for a long time. It lowered its arms to its round, white sides. Do you know who I am? It demanded. I swallowed hard. The question took me by total fucking surprise. I opened my mouth to answer, but no sound came out. Do you know who I am?
The snowman
thundered as if you were the biggest douchebag trying to get into a club. Hey, bro, do you know who I am? I work at a tech startup, okay? We did like a promotional video with Nicki Minaj once. Do you know who I am? I'm a big shot.
No, I squeaked. Who are you?
I am your father. The snowman cried, like some sort of inverted Darth Vader.
The snowman's the dad? Wait, did I already say that? Or did I say that the sorcerers were the parents? God, I was about to say I should stop recording these so drunk, but of course I should keep recording these that drunk.
Chapter number 26. No! A long wail escaped my throat like another version of Anakin Skywalker. I wanted to get away from here. I wanted to run, to slide down the mountain, to fly away. You know, like Leonard Kravitz. But I couldn't move. The snowman trapped me in his icy grip like an icy hot stunner, held me there on the ledge, froze me in wave after wave of cold. Jacqueline, I am your father. The snowman repeated, lowering his booming voice. He stared down at me with those frightening, round, glassy eyes. Believe me.
That's impossible.
Are they really doing the entire Empire Strikes Back thing?
I stammered. I hugged myself, trying to stop my body from trembling.
You're a snowman. You can't be my father. I learned how sex works, and it involves ding-dongs, and you're not wearing pants, and I don't see no ding-dong there.
Listen to me.
The snowman roared.
I am your father. Your mother was a sorceress, and so is your aunt. Your aunt practices all sorts of magic, even Magic the Gathering.
No,
I protested. His lies made me gather my courage. I climbed to my feet.
That's not true,
I cried angrily.
I've never seen Aunt Greta do any magic. You're lying. She's not a parcel tongue or anything. I read Harry Potter, idiot.
The snowman bobbed from side to side as if you were shadow boxing. The ledge shook beneath me. I nearly lost my balance. I do not lie, Jacqueline, he insisted, his arms raised up as if you were pleading with me. I'm telling the truth. I'm not Crooked Hillary, the snowman.
But,
I sputtered. Your mother did this to me. Women, am I right, listeners?
The snowman said.
She used her magic and turned me into a snowman. You were 2 years old. She turned me into a snowman. She tried to turn me back, but she failed. Then she and your Aunt Greta took you and ran away from the village.
That story doesn't make any sense, I cried. If what you say is true, why did we move back here? Why did Aunt Greta bring us back to the village?
Your aunt had a good reason for coming back.
The snowman,
sexplained. She knows that after 10 years, the magic spell starts to fade.
I don't understand. It's like you weren't completely clear, which you were. I don't understand why I'm not saying that I understand, but clearly I understand because you made it very clear that you're a snowman, you're her dad, your mom transformed you, your aunt's also some sort of sorceress, and after 10 years the spell fades, you're about 12 years old right now, and you're gonna get a father.
My head felt frozen. It was hard to think. I struggled to make sense of what he was telling me. After 10 years, the spell fades. The snowman repeated. Your aunt came back to renew the spell. She wants me to stay a snowman. She wants to keep me prisoner up here forever. She wants to make sure I don't tell the world what happened to me. And she wants to keep you to herself.
Aunt Greta is not a sorceress, I protested. I've lived with her most of my life. I've never seen her do any kind of magic. She doesn't
please the
snowman. Yoda, shh. Come here. You can sit on my lap, but you gotta be quiet.
Bellowed, raising a tree branch arm to silence me. There isn't much time. I'm your father, Jacqueline. Your real father. You've got to believe me.
But I didn't know what to say. I couldn't think straight. It was all too brazy.
You can get me out of this.
The snowman pleaded.
You can save me. But you've got to hurry. Your Aunt Greta will renew the spell soon. If you don't save me, I'll be a snowman, snowman, for another 10 years.
But what can I do? I cried. I'm not a sorceress. I can't do magic. What can I do?
You can save me, the giant snow creature insisted, but I cannot tell you how. He uttered a bitter sigh.
If I have... Sorry. Just give me a second. Let me have some more of this beer.
If I tell you how to save me, it will only strengthen the spell, he continued. You've got to figure it out for yourself.
Huh? But how? I can't figure out things at all. I'm dumb as shit. I don't know how to spell anything, and I can only speak in emojis,
I demanded. I can give you a hint.
The snowman replied.
I cannot tell you how to save me, but I can give you a hint.
Okay,
I said softly. I hugged myself more tightly, and I listened in his deep rumbling voice,
the snowman
recited the familiar rhyme. When the snow blows wild and the day grows old, beware the snowman, my child. Beware the snowman, he brings the cold.
I stared up at him in shock. You know the poem, I stammered. Do you know A Millie by Lil Wayne is a different kind of poem?
That is your clue,
the snowman
said softly. That is the only hint I can give you. Now, you must figure out how to rescue me.
I already knew how to rescue him. I knew instantly when he recited the old rhyme. The second verse, it's different than the first. The secret had to be in the second verse. The verse
I couldn't remember. Please, Jacqueline,
the snowman
gaze down at me pleading, please, help me. I'm your father, Jacqueline. I'm really your father. I stared back at him. Look at Jacqueline staring back at him. Trying to decide. Trying so hard to decide. Should I believe him? Should I help him?
Chapter 27. Should she fucking help him?
Yes, I decided yes. I'll run home. I'll find the old poetry book and I'll read the second verse of the rhyme.
Damn, I don't know if I'd rather be just stuck with a cold, frozen heart and be a snowman the rest of my life, or hear some 12-year-old girl read me a poem. I don't know which would be worse. An eternity of suffering over like 3 minutes of just 12-year-old poetry.
I'm coming back! I called up to the snowman. I spun away from him, pulled myself out of the invisible cold grip. I started to run down the ledge and gasped when I nearly ran into Aunt Greta.
Aunt Greta!
I cried in shock. I tried to warn you, she called to me. I tried to scare you, Jacqueline, to keep you from coming up here. So it was Aunt Greta who whispered up to my room late at night, who warned me to beware of the snowman.
That's almost like the title of the book, but there's an of, you know?
Whatever. Her dark eyes were wild. Her normally pale face was bright red. Her long black coat was open and flapped behind her in the wind. She raised a large black book in one hand above her head. Jacqueline, is this what you're looking for? She demanded shrilly. The poetry book? I cried. My aunt nodded. She held the book high above her. Aunt Greta, is it true? I asked, glancing back at the huge snowman. Is he really my father? My aunt's face twisted in surprise. Huh? Your father? She cried. What a lie. Is that what he told you? That he's your father? It's a lie. A horrible lie. An abominable lie.
I would have wrote that if I wrote this book, but I probably wouldn't have written this book because it was already written and it'll be redundant to write it again.
No! The snowman boomed. I jumped, but Aunt Greta ignored the thunderous cry. It's a lie, Jacqueline, she repeated, glaring angrily at the snowman. He isn't your father. He's an evil monster. No! The snowman bellowed again. The whole mountain shook from his protest. Your mother and father were sorcerers, Aunt Greta continued, ignoring him. They practiced their magic night and day, and then some Kama Sutra in between. That's how you came to be you. But they went too far. They created him accidentally. Not you, you were on purpose. Good save, Aunt Greta. Aunt Greta pointed to the snowman.
Why is Dunes getting so many text messages?
Her face bitter. He's an evil monster, she repeated through gritted teeth. When your parents saw what they had done, they were horrified. They froze the monster inside the snowman's body. Soon after, your father disappeared. Your mother and I took you and ran from the village. We ran so far away to be safe from the monster's horrible evil. You are a liar, the snowman raged. He waved his stick arms wildly in the air like Stickly. His scarf blew out at his sides like hawk wings. Wave after wave of cold shot off his bulging body. Jacqueline, don't believe her, the snowman pleaded. Save me, please. I am your father. His arms reached out to me. Please, he begged. I know it's hard for you to believe, but your aunt is the evil one. She's a sorceress. She and your mother and I, we were all sorcerers. I am not evil. I am not a monster. Please, he pleaded like the elephant man. Liar, Aunt Greta shrieked. Good argument. She gripped the big book angrily in both hands.
Oh, is she in the program?
As if ready to throw it at him. I know no magic, Aunt Greta cried. I know no spells. I am not a sorceress. She opened the book and began frantically shuffling through the pages. I'm not a sorceress, but I brought this book because I know its secret. I know what I need to make sure you stay frozen in that snowman body forever. The snowman continued to reach out to me. Jacqueline, save me. Save me now, he pleaded.
I like that there's a weird dynamic of clearly the snowman and her aunt know each other, which kind of backs up his story, right?
Anyway, save me now, he pleaded. I turned from him to my aunt, then back to him. Who should I believe? Which one was telling the truth? Suddenly, I had an idea.
It's probably a dumb idea, but I guess we'll find out in chapter 28, which I'm just going to continue on to, even though I've gotten like 15 text messages. Let's see if any of them are from Connie.
Nope. Chapter 28. I grabbed the open poetry book from my aunt's hands. What are you doing? She shrieked, always shrieking these aunts. She moved quickly to wrestle it away from me.
Oh, is she some sort of communist? She doesn't like you reading books?
We both tugged at it. The pages tore and flew out. The heavy cover cracked. Aunt Greta made a desperate swipe at it. Aunt Greta, no swiping!
That was a Dora the Explorer reference.
But I pulled it away from her. Then I backed up against the wall of the ice cave. Aunt Greta took a step toward me. Then she gazed up at the sneakety-eakety-snow-makety-makety-man and decided not to come that close to him. Jacqueline, you're making a big mistake, Aunt Greta warned. Leaning against the smooth cave wall, I flipped frantically through the pages of the old book while Dune burped. I'm going to find the poem, I told her. I'm going to read the second verse. It's the only way to know the truth.
Thank you, daughter,
the snowman bellowed. Aunt Greta uttered a wail of protest. I'm telling you the truth, Jacqueline, she cried. I have taken care of you all these years. I would not lie. I didn't get a stipend from the government, like when people buy a used kid and then they get money for it, like Kevin, who just tries to make money. Get over it, Kevin. You can't just keep buying kids, okay?
There was a moment recently where I was like, my job's ending. I don't know what's going on in my life. I'm going to just see if I can move in with Kevin in his big-ass house he just bought outside of Washington, D.C. And then maybe find a bar and be a barback and pay him some rent. I don't know. This is not interesting to anyone, but maybe Kevin, if he's listening to this. Sup, Kevin?
But I'd made up my mind. I had to read the second verse. It was the only way I could find out who was lying and who was telling the truth. He's a monster, Aunt Greta cried. The snowman stood still and silent, watching me furiously shuffle through the pages. Where was that rhyme? Where? I only see a rhyme about a pelican and his beak and all his worn bellykin, and he can hold in his beak and a food for a week, and I don't know how the hell he can. That's not the rhyme I want, even though it's the best. I glanced up. Aunt Greta? She bent down and picked up a torn page from the snow. As her eyes moved over the page, a smile spread over her face. The wind blew her coat behind her. Her eyes were wild. The page fluttered in her hand. Jacqueline, I can't let you read the rhyme, she said. You have it in your hand? I cried. I can't let you read it, Aunt Greta repeated.
Just what we needed. Do we need rhymes? Because she did. Believe it.
And tossed the page over the ledge. Chapter 29. I let out a shriek.
Was that a shriek? That was like the sound they make in Macarena.
I watched the page float out over the ledge. I watched it fly up, then start to drop. It's lost, I realized. The second verse is lost forever, like the lost verse of Margaritaville that Jimmy Buffett only does in live performances. The swirling wind carried it down the mountain, down the steep drop. It will never be seen again. And then I cried out again as the wind carried the page up, back up, and into my hand. Well, that's fucking lucky. Maybe she is a sorceress.
Or she's either a sorceress, which makes more sense than the physics of that happening and this just being terrible. Anyway. I grabbed it out of the air and stared at it in amazement. And before Aunt Greta could grab it back, I raised the page to my face and started to read the second verse of the rhyme out loud. When the snows melt and the warm sun is with thee, beware the snowman. No, Aunt Greta wailed. She dove toward me. With a desperate swipe, she pulled the page from my hand, and it ripped in two shreds. Two shreds! The snowman uttered a horrified groan. He bent, reached out to grab Aunt Greta. More like Aunt Grabba. I guess she wasn't grabbing, so I guess Aunt got grab... whatever. Too late. The jagged strips of paper fluttered to the snow. Aunt Greta, why? I choked out. I couldn't let you do it, she replied. He's a monster, Jacqueline. He's not your father. I couldn't let you free him.
She's lying,
the snowman insisted.
She does not want you to know me, Jacqueline. She doesn't want you to know your own father. She wants to leave me trapped in this frozen cave forever.
I turned back to my aunt. Her face had grown stern and hard. She stared back at me coldly with her stern, hard, ugly-ass face. I took a deep breath. Aunt Greta, I have to know the truth. I'm like Mulder, not Scully. You know, I don't just ignore things, I told her. I've told you the truth, she insisted. I have to know for myself, I replied. I saw the last line of the poem before you grabbed it and tore it up. I know the whole poem, Aunt Greta. Don't, my aunt pleaded, reaching out to me. Look at her, knowing the importance of kind of reading ahead. I do that too, but I'm also thinking up things to say. It's very difficult. But I backed up against the icy cave wall and recited the rhyme from memory. When the snows melt and the warm sun is with thee, beware the snowman, for the snowman shall go free. No, Jacqueline, no, 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 no! Franklin, you're not doing anything wrong. I'm reading from the book. Aunt Greta wailed. She pressed her hands to the sides of her face like Macaulay Culkin and repeated her reply. Or did she just kept saying no and she said, no, 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 no. I turned to the snowman and saw him begin to melt like the dude who saw the Ark of the Covenant open in the Indiana Jones movie. The white snow oozed down his face like a reverse bukkake, and body melted like ice cream. The black eyes dropped to the snow. The face melted onto the body. The snow poured off the round body. The tree branch arms thudded heavily to the ground. Slowly, his real face came into view. Slowly, his body emerged from under the snow. I stared as the snow dripped away. And then I opened my mouth in a shrill scream of horror. Wonder what the horror's about. Let's just keep reading. We're going to finish this one. Hopefully I can edit it, upload it, and Photoshop a picture tonight. That would be excellent. Chapter number 30, which is how old Dune is as of July. Too old for goosebumps. Too old for goosebumps, yeah. A monster! An ugly, snarling, red-skinned monster stomped from under the oozing snow. Aunt Greta had told the truth. A monster was trapped inside the snowman. Not my father, not my father, a monster! Such a hideous monster. My father's not a monster. He's a handsome gentleman named Scott, and I like him very much. Its head and body were covered with crusty red scales. Ooh, it's got herpes. Its yellow eyes, ooh, it's got cirrhosis, rolled wildly in its bull-shaped head. Ooh, it's got fucking bullhead. A purple tongue flapped from its jagged, toothed mouth. No, 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 Aunt Greta chanted, still pressing both hands against her face. Tears ran down her cheeks and over her hands. What have I done? I wailed. The monster tossed back its head in a throaty laugh. He picked the poetry book off the snow in his scaly three-fingered hands, and he heaved it over the side of the mountain. I bet with the three-fingered hands, people are like, yo, I thought you were from the village. Why you keep throwing West Sides? And he's like, bruh, because I only got three fingers. But like, West Side for life still, because that's where Dune's from.
You're next, he roared at me.
No, please, I begged. I grabbed Aunt Greta by the shoulders and tugged her away from the ledge. We pressed ourselves against the icy wall of the cave.
Goodbye, the monster grunted. Goodbye, all.
But I saved you, I pleaded. Is that my reward, to be thrown over the side of the mountain? The red-scaled beast nodded. An ugly grin revealed more jagged teeth.
Yes, that is your reward.
He picked me up in one powerful hand, squeezing my waist, squeezing it so tightly I couldn't breathe like a corset. He picked up Aunt Greta in his other hand. He raised us above his head as if he were raising the roof. But no, he were not raising the roof. He was raising me and my aunt. Let out an ugly, raspy groan and held us over the side of the mountain.
Chapter 31.
His powerful hands swung us over the cliff edge. I peered down, down at the sheer drop, at the snowy ground that appeared to be miles below. To my surprise, the monster didn't let go. He swung around and dropped my aunt and me back on the ledge. Huh? I uttered a startled gasp. The monster was staring down the ledge now. He had stopped paying attention to Aunt Greta and me. Oh shit, maybe if that's not her dad, maybe that weird Conrad dude that has a wolf is her dad, and maybe the wolf is named Jacqueline. And he didn't even know. That'd be brazy. Struggling to catch my breath, I turned and followed his gaze and saw what had startled the monster and saved my life. A parade of snowmen. Is that better? You guys appreciate that? All of the snowmen of the village. They were marching up to the ice cave in a single line. Their red scarves waved in the wind. Hey, I heard about some people that marched in a line all together in a row with some red scarves that they weren't tied around their neck. They were tied around their arms. Okay? You get what I'm saying? They also appreciated being all white. Okay? R.L. Stein, that's not a good thing. Their stick-like arms bobbed up and down as they rumbled up the mountainside like soldiers.
Nazi soldiers.
They came marching up to us, bouncing, thudding, rumbling, humping forward, all identical, all scarred and stern-faced and sneering. I don't believe it, I stammered. I grabbed Aunt Greta's arm. We stared at the marching snowmen in horror. They're all coming to serve the monster, Aunt Greta whispered. We're doomed, Jacqueline, doomed. We're like, Doom 2, cruise control, fuck. All right, I don't know. I'm going to keep reading, though. I got to finish this beer before this chapter starts, though. Bear with me. Excellent. Wow, that was a weird thing where fluid went in my lungs. If you hear that I died of pneumonia, don't assume I have AIDS. I just inhaled weird after drinking a beer. I'm good now, though.
Chapter 32.
The snowmen rumbled up the icy ledge. The steady thud, thud, thrud. Apparently there's an R in that one. Grew louder as they neared. The sound echoed off the snowy mountaintop until it sounded as if 1,000 snowmen were marching to attack us. Aunt Greta and I shrank back against the glassy cave wall. We had nowhere to run. The monster blocked the cave entrance. The marching snowmen cut off any escape down the ledge. Closer came the snowmen. Closer, close enough to see the anger in their round black eyes. Close enough to see the snake-like scars cut into their faces, like some sort of snake that has a scar that also looks like a snake. Aunt Greta and I
couldn't move. We raised our hands as if to shield ourselves. And then we gasped in surprise as the snowman marched right past us. They rumbled up to the monster, bouncing fast, thudding over the ice, arms waving, dark eyes glowing, bouncing up to the startled monster and pushing him down. Pushed him back.
What the fuck was that? What is going on? Outside of my home. Wait, I gotta look outside. I'm just gonna keep annotating. Yoda's looking outside. I think it's this fucking same cop that just pulls people over by my house all the time. Pulling someone over, but he was talking on the loudspeaker like,
"You gotta go to the right."
I don't know. Point is, you didn't hear it. Does he know I'm illegally recording Goosebumps? Just kidding, it's totally legal and falls under parody. Whatever. Anyway, bounced up to the startled monster and pushed him back. The snowman crushed up against him. One snowman, then two, then ten. They crushed against his scaly red body, pushing him back, back, back like that Drake song, back to back. The monster tossed its head in an angry roar, but the roar was smothered as Snowman rolled over the monster's head. Aunt Greta and I gasped in amazement as the snowman swarmed over the monster, pushed him back against the cave wall. We saw the monster's powerful arms flail the air, thrashing wildly, helplessly, and then the monster disappeared behind a crush of snowmen. Sorry, I couldn't even do snowmen because I was busy thinking, is a crush like a thing? Like, does that make sense? Anyway, the snowman pushed forward, pushed hard, push it to the limit, pushed silently, push it to the limit, like a silent avalanche. Ooh, that's a good band name. And when they finally stepped back, the monster stood frozen, arms stretched out as if to attack, not moving, frozen inside the ice wall. A prisoner, the snowman, had pushed him into the wall, trapped him inside the glassy wall of ice. Aunt Greta and I stood trembling beside the cave entrance. We were still holding on to each other. My legs felt weak and rubbery, like Gumby. And lubbery, like Gumby in Japan. I could feel Aunt Greta trembling beneath her coat. What brought all the snowmen up here? I asked her. Did you do it, Aunt Greta? She shook her head, her eyes still wide with amazement. I didn't bring them here, Jacqueline, she said softly. I told you the truth. I have no magic. Oh, she might be a squib. Your mother and father were sorcerers, but not me. Then, who made them climb the mountain to rescue us? I demanded.
I did, a voice cried.
By the way, this whole book is like a warning where people that were adopted often look for their birth parents as if it will solve some sort of problem in their life. But in reality, they're people that were unfit to be a parent in the first place, and it's always disappointing, you know? It's like this whole book is a warning towards that, where like, oh, yeah, you really wanted to reconnect with your dad, and now there's an evil monster that you unfroze from a snowman-like coffin, and you're all gonna die. No? Is that not the story? The moral? Whatever. All right. I'm gonna get another beer.
Chapter number 33. It's the best chapter, I believe. That's why it's called chapter 33.
Ah. I turned to the ledge and saw Conrad standing there. His gray hair blew wildly in the wind. The white wolf stood at his side.
You made the snowman march, I cried. You're a sorcerer too?
Conrad nodded. He gazed at the monster trapped in the ice and a smile spread over his face.
Yes, I sent them to rescue you, he said.
Aunt Greta narrowed her eyes at Conrad. As she studied his face, her mouth dropped open.
You, Aunt Greta cried. It's you.
Is it Uncle Conrad? Are they about to do it? Ooh. Wow, you guys are just listening to this, and I did that hand motion where you make the okay sign, but the other finger, it comes and makes it not so okay by going inside of it. That was inappropriate in all ways.
Conrad's smile grew even wider. Yes, he told my aunt. Who is he? I demanded. Aunt Greta turned to me and placed a hand on my shoulder. Jacqueline, she said softly, I moved back here because I thought he might still be here. And yes, I was right. He is here. She squeezed my shoulder and smiled at me, tears welling in her eyes. Conrad is your father, Aunt Greta whispered and shit. She told, Aunt Greta said that it doesn't matter in what way and what fucking synonym it was. She told fucking whatever. Conrad's her dad. That's important. You know, the main character. I called it one time in the chapter previously and didn't call it at all and thought that maybe the snowman was her dad. In fact, I don't think I said Conrad was the dad for a while. Wow, it's weird that he didn't recognize his own daughter and hangs out with a wolf all the time. He probably doesn't have many life lessons for her. Unless he knows magic, which I think he does, then he has rad life lessons. Anyway, Conrad and I both cried out at the same time. He rushed across the icy ledge and wrapped me in a hug. His long beard scratched my face as he pressed his cheek against mine. I don't believe it, he cried, stepping back with tears in his eyes. It's been so many years. I didn't recognize you, Jacqueline. I'm so glad that Greta brought you back to the village. You're really my father? I stammered. Conrad didn't have a chance to answer. Rolanda and Eli came running up to us. Are you okay? They cried. Conrad pointed to Rolanda and Eli. They saved your lives, he told Aunt Greta and me. They told me that you planned to climb to the ice cave. As soon as I heard that, I worked my magic. I sent the snowman up to rescue you. It's funny because I worked my magic usually is like reserved for people that are like pickup artists. Like, well, I met this 3, maybe a 4 in this club and worked my magic and now I got a child on the way. It doesn't usually involve actually working magic. Anyway, wow, Eli exclaimed, seeing the monster frozen in the ice. Look at that. That was the evil snowman, Conrad explained to them. He'll never threaten the village again. Rolanda and Eli stepped closer to view the frozen monster close up. I turned to my father. I don't understand, I said. Why did you stay behind in the village when Mom and Greta left? Why did you live up here near the ice cave? He scratched his beard, possibly due to scabies, and sighed. It's kind of a long story. When you were little, your mother and I were practicing powerful magic. Our magic got out of control. We accidentally created this monster. He motioned to the monster and shook his head. We froze the monster inside the body of a snowman, he explained. Your mother, she wanted to leave. She was so frightened and upset. She wanted to move as far away from the village as she could. She wanted to forget it had ever happened. And why did you stay? I demanded. I stayed because I thought I owed it to the people of the village, he explained. I owed it to them to keep the snowman in his place, in his cave, to keep him from harming people. He uttered another sad sigh. And so I stayed up here, close to the monster we created. But leaving you, Jacqueline, it was the hardest thing I ever had to do. He wrapped his arms around my shoulders again. His beard scratched my face. I could feel a couple of the little scabies bugs crawl off his beard and straight into my hair. I always dreamed that someday I could leave the mountain and go find you, he'd said softly, and now the monster is dead. The horror is finally over and Greta has brought you back. Perhaps, his voice broke. He smiled at Aunt Greta and then at me. He took a breath and tried again. Perhaps we can try to be a family again. He kept his arm around me as we turned to go down the mountain. Hey, I cried out as I saw the snowman move to block our path. In all the excitement of finding my father, I'd completely forgotten about the snowman. Now,
They circled us, surrounded us, staring at us with their glowing coal eyes, staring at us so coldly. What are they going to do? I stammered. Before my father could answer, one of the snowmen came thumping out of the group. He rumbled up to us, twitched his arms twitching, eyes flashing. I grabbed Dad's arms. The snowman had us totally surrounded. Nowhere to move. No chance to run away. The snowman stopped inches from my father and opened his mouth to speak.
Can we go back down now? The snowman asked. It's really cold up here.
The end of that bullshit-ass book. God damn. Can we go back down now? It's really cold up here, says the snowman. I'm so glad I only have a few of these left. I don't know what I'm going to do. I still need to find a way to get money. I'm getting old now. Jesus Christ. I don't know how I feel about that one. It was definitely towards the lower half of Goosebumps in general. That's not saying much. I feel like, even though it statistically doesn't make any sense, I feel like 3/4 of them are beneath the lower half. It's a suede-ass bell curve that's not like a bell. It's cracked, like the Liberty Bell. Speaking of Liberty, it's 9/11. Do any troops listen to this? Is anyone over there, like, fighting and doing that? Probably not, but if you are, thank you. That's cool. Cool job you got. I need a job. I'm too old to get drafted now. I don't know. I guess that's it. I'll try to finish these up and then maybe upload them all to YouTube or something. And then maybe keep on doing the Give Yourself Goosebumps. Maybe just do them with a friend. It's always way more fun to do it with someone. I don't know. It's always more fun to do it with someone. Yeah, no shit. That was a sexual joke. And while you're thinking of sexual jokes, why don't you... stay spooky, bitches.